Welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, July 20th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. This episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Welcome back. It is opening week, Twins fans. Can you believe it? We made it. Twins opening day is on Friday in Chicago. So much to get to this week. So much to get to today, good and bad news. I do want to focus on Jake Odorizzi today because it sounds like he's not going to pitch in Chicago. So I want to talk about contingency plans for the Twins there, some decisions they have to make on that front, some options that I think they have heading into this opening series in Chicago. More injury news from Miguel Sano, Byron Buxton, Luis Arraez, Willian Zaccedillo, plenty to get to there. Also, the 30-man roster is being finalized. If you're not aware or you weren't listening before, the Twins will have 30-man roster to start the season. That'll drop to 26 after a month, I believe, or I think 28 after a month, 26 after 2 months, something like that. But at first, it's going to be 30 guys on the roster, and that opens the door for a certain prospect in the Twins system who looks like he's going to be the front runner to be that 30th man to start the season. Good for him, because back in March, that was absolutely not even in the cards for him. And that guy is Travis Blankenhorn. We'll talk about him today as well. But let's get to the main idea here. Jake Odorizzi, the main story, I should say. Jake Odorizzi has upper back stiffness. And I was listening to Gleeman and the Geek talk about this, and John made a good point. It's my boss at Twins Daily, John Bonus. Gave us some insight that this goes back to Tampa Bay. Odorizzi had back problems in Tampa Bay. And I thought that was interesting because here it is again in 2020 with the Twins. And it's relevant because it doesn't look like Jake's going to pitch this weekend. So we heard a report from Do-Young Park that it wasn't a bit, Rocco said it wasn't a major issue, which is good. So that's the good news on that front. But also that Jake was going to be pushed back by a couple of days and would need another start before his season opener, essentially, before he debuted in the 2020 season. Well, today was the last day of Twins summer camp. The Twins head out tomorrow to Chicago, and they're going to have a light workout tomorrow in Chicago. And on Wednesday, they're going to play the Cubs in an exhibition game on Wednesday night at Wrigley Field. Thursday is going to be an off day, I believe, and then Friday's opening day against the White Sox. So, I mean, where is he going to pitch? Odorizzi is, it doesn't look like it's doubtful. From my point of view, there's like a 0% chance that we're going to see Jake Odorizzi this weekend pitching in Chicago. There was a quote from Rocco in Doe's piece that said something along the lines of, once we get into the first full week of the season. I thought that was pretty telling, because the first full week of the season wouldn't be this weekend. It would be next week, and that's when Jake's probably going to make his first start, depending on how he feels. So a couple of options for the Twins here, a couple of contingency plans for them. I mean, right off the bat, we're seeing the Twins pitching depth, starting pitching depth come into play. And it's so important and such a strength of this team that they have 7 or 8 legitimate starters. Also, news from the weekend that Joelys Chacín requested his release from the Twins. He has been released by the Twins. That takes away another name that I jot off when I talk about their pitching depth. I think he has a better chance elsewhere to be in the rotation. It sounded like the Twins told him that he didn't have a chance at making this team, or they weren't planning to put him on the 30-man roster. So Joelys Chacín is out, and that opens the door for Randy Dobnak and Devin Smeltzer in long relief as well, which is great for them, because I think Dobnak deserves that opportunity especially. So the Twins still, though, have, and, you know, because of Randy Dobnak and Devin Smeltzer, have so much starting pitching depth. Jake Odorizzi is going to miss that opening weekend, but something that the Twins have, I think, and they have upside in these four too, is I think they have 4 really good starters in Jose Berríos, Rich Hill, Kenta Maeda, and Jake Odorizzi. I think when you look at those 4, and I think Homer Bailey has an opportunity to be above average as well, but I think those 4 in a certain sense, I think at their 50th percentile, I do think Jose Berríos is the best pitcher of those 4, but I think they all have upside, maybe Odorizzi the least amount, but they also, I think, are all interchangeable in a certain sense. If you catch what I'm saying here, is I think you don't have a big drop off if Jake Odorizzi misses a start and Rich Hill's in his place, or vice versa, Kenta Maeda misses a start and Rich Hill starts in his place, or Jake Odorizzi starts in his place. I think they're all solidly above average pitchers. Odorizzi is a 2-time All-Star now, back to back. Odorizzi was an All-Star is a back to back All-Star. Odorizzi was an All-Star last year. I think Kenta Maeda is a tweak or two away away from lefties. Gave up another homer to Alex Avila today to another lefty. That's the second since these inter-squad games. The first was to Max Kepler. That continues to be a concern, how Kenta Maeda is going to be able to get lefties out consistently this year. But I think all those guys, if you look at them, those four are seemingly interchangeable to me. So that leads me into what the Twins are going to do this weekend. So Friday night is Jose Berríos against Lucas Giolito. The White Sox have opened as slight favorites, I believe, and I got this wrong on a earlier tweet about the opening line. The Twins were fairly heavy favorites via Vegas Insider, but now it looks like the White Sox are actually favored in that game. I don't know what happened there. But officially, I think the White Sox are favored on Bovada, which is a bigger site with lines. So it looks like the White Sox are favored Friday night. Lucas Giolito, Jose Berríos, going to be a really fun one opening night. I'm going to be so excited. Saturday, though, is up in the air now for the Twins, and I had predicted that it would be Jake Odorizzi against Dallas Keuchel, but now we don't know who's going to start against Dallas Keuchel, and that leads into what the Twins might do here. So I think they have like five or six options, and they're in a really flexible spot. That's where they like to be. That's where Rocco Baldelli likes to be. Derek Falvey likes to be. They like to have flexibility, and that's why they add depth, I think, and that's why they really emphasize depth. Not only because in a 162-game season it is important to have that depth, but also because it gives you flexibility that maybe other clubs don't have, and it's a leg up. And they have flexibility here with an injury, and that's what they're set up for, to be able to take a Jake Odorizzi injury and definitely, you know, mitigate some of that blow of him being out of the rotation. So I think what they can do, and because this series, you don't want to put too much weight on the first series, but any divisional series is super important. Any divisional game every game is 2.7 times more important. I think every divisional game is 5 times more important than it is in a regular season, just because I think there are 3 competitive clubs in this division, and every game you play against the White Sox and the Indians, you want to be at your best and give your team the best chance to win, especially. And if that means putting someone out there on short rest, or putting someone out there who it's out of the rotation, or it's mixes up the whole rotation, I think you do it. This episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Reliably low prices, amazing selection. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So what the Twins can do is, with Jose Berríos on Friday night, they can just flip and on extended rest Rich Hill on Saturday against Dallas Keuchel, two lefties, which I think would be really fun. I don't think Rich Hill was slated before this Odorizzi injury to pitch in this Chicago series. Kenta Maeda pitched today in the inter-squad game, so you would have him on regular rest on Saturday. I think he probably pitches Sunday, so then you're talking about Saturday's game. Do you go with Rich Hill or do you go with Randy Domnak? That might be what it comes down to here. Or do you pitch Maeda on regular rest and then worry about Sunday when Sunday comes? I think they have multiple options here. Let's talk about some more news out of Twins camp as they wrapped up summer camp today, which is super exciting and wild and crazy that we're going to get to opening day. Miguel Sano, I guess, is just hitting rockets at live BP. I think he struck out 4 times with 2 walks in 2 inter-squad games, but that's Miguel Sano. We don't worry too much about him. I was concerned earlier last week that if he wasn't back at camp, that he could start like 0-for-25, and I said that on the show, that Miguel Sano is especially a guy, I think, who can be a streaky hitter. And we saw, though, for like 3 months last year, he was an absolute monster. So I'd put my money that he's going to be a monster. But I think he's a guy that if he comes into camp late, which he did, and he has his time, he doesn't have his timing down yet, could be a guy who could get off to a big slump and that could hurt the lineup. But because you have so much padding in this lineup with so many hitters that are well above average, so many star hitters like Nelson Cruz, Josh Donaldson, and Max Kepler, I think you can risk that with Miguel Sano. It's not like you're relying on him. He's a huge piece of this offense. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think he puts it over the top, and you could say that about any guy because of the other eight. But I don't know if it's as big of a deal if he was just empty out of his hole in the lineup, because this lineup is just so special. And I don't mean empty for like a month. I mean, if he struggles in the first week getting his timing back, gets his feet under him, and then he's good to go, and he just needed some extra at-bats. And if you think that's worth it, I certainly do. So Miguel Sano's back at camp, hitting homers in live BP. He's back in the inter-squad games, and it remains to be seen if he's in the opening day lineup. I predict that he will be. I thought Thursday was the deadline last week. If he wasn't at camp by Thursday, that he wasn't going to be in that opening day lineup. He was back on Wednesday. So I think he's going to be in the opening day lineup on Friday. Would I be surprised if he isn't? Yeah, I think I would be a little bit, but maybe not a ton, because I understand. I would understand it. And, you know, I think I'd be disappointed because I want to see this lineup in full tact. And that's why it was scary on Sunday, or yeah, I think it was Sunday yesterday. Luis Arraez had a scare with his knee, or that might have been on Friday. It was this weekend where Luis Arraez played in an inter-squad game and came up to second base on a pass ball, and his leg kind of extended on the bag, and it looked like he had a knee issue, and he did. He had right knee soreness, but then he was back in the lineup 2 days later, so it sounds like he's okay. That was a scary moment, but I have to say, Twins summer camp has been less fortunate than Twins spring training, where they saw like zero injuries throughout the entire thing, and they were like a week away or 2 weeks away from opening day when it got shut down. Summer camp, they've had some dinks. Now Jake Odorizzi looks like he's going to miss a turn in the rotation, which is not insignificant. You know, Miguel Sano testing positive. Williams Acedillo remains out of camp, and he probably would have been on the 30-man roster for sure as a third catcher. Now they don't have a third catcher. You know, immediately it's just Garver and Avila for right now. And then you saw Byron Buxton hurt his foot. It sounds like he's going to be ready for opening day. He says he is, and that remains to be seen as well. But there's just been some dings around camp for sure, and Arraez's knee. I mean, it's been definitely not a stress-free camp, and every single time they play an inter-squad game, I'm like, please, no one get hurt. Please, no one get hurt. Please, no one get hurt. And I know that's kind of a, you know, a poor attitude. If you're scared of getting hurt, you're going to get hurt. But let's talk about that Twins 30-man roster. We're going to talk much more about this tomorrow or Wednesday as it gets finalized. I think the Twins will come out with it soon. It's due by opening day, but we're going to talk about these last few spots here. Travis Blankenhorn, I want to focus on because I think he is the guy who benefits most from this expanded roster. It looks like he's going to be the 30th man. So it looks like, you know, they'll have the outfielders, Jake Cave and Lamont Wade Jr., and then they're going to have Travis Blankenhorn. Blankenhorn at 277, 321 on base, 466 slug between high A in Fort Myers and double A in Pensacola. Last year, he spent most of his time at double A in Pensacola as a 22-year-old. He's a super utility guy, and that's what the Twins love. They love guys who can play multiple positions. They breed guys to play multiple positions. We've seen it with their top prospect in Royce Lewis, that they think about putting him in center field. They like to get him work at third base. They don't mind those things because it gives you flexibility. Luis Arraez, you know, kind of groomed as a left fielder last year, second baseman. They like guys who can play multiple positions. They love to have a utility role on the bench, if not multiple. Eray Adrianza, Marwin Gonzalez, Nick Gordon looks like he might fill that role. He has COVID-19 or tested positive, and I think he remains in Fort Myers, so he might have filled this role, if not for that. But instead, it's Travis Blankenhorn. On Baseball Reference, he's listed as a second baseman, third baseman, and left fielder. So he can slide in anywhere. And I think this is just ideal, again, for the Twins and for Travis, because it was unclear. He's on the 40-man roster. They didn't want to bring like Alex Kirilloff or Trevor Larnach onto the 40-man and then drop someone else. So instead, it's Blankenhorn, who's already on the 40-man, and he's going to play 6'2", 228. He's from Pottsville, Pennsylvania. He was picked in the third round in the 2015 draft, and it looks like he probably is going to make his MLB debut, you know, decently soon, hopefully. For his case, but hopefully not for the Twins' case. That would mean maybe an injury. And Marwin Gonzalez and Eray Adrianza are going to be the first two to fill spots, but Blankenhorn's going to be with the big league club, which is awesome for him. So Blankenhorn's going to fill that 30th spot as the Twins go to Chicago tomorrow. And I never thought, I guess I did, but I wasn't sure if we were going to get to opening week. And I'm so glad you're joining me for this 2020 Twins season. You will not find a more passionate Twins fan, I am saying that confidently, than me. And I think as I look at my room filled with Twins gear, with Twins jerseys, with Twins posters, I can confidently say that I am an extremely passionate Twins fan, a knowledgeable Twins fan, and such a big part of my life is this team. So I'm very happy that it's coming back. I'm very happy that you're listening. Thank you so much. And I feel like I'm going to be an asset this season of helping you kind of understand things, breaking down things that Rocco does, and really examining this really, 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 really special 2020 Minnesota Twins Club. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know how it goes. We're approaching 100 episodes since the coronavirus shutdown. Almost 100 episodes without any games since the coronavirus shutdown. And it goes back to December when I took over this show, almost 175 straight with no baseball games, which is, I'm proud of that. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day. Go Twins. It's right around the corner.